Rose, and I'm joined with the birthday girl and my co-host
Sarah.
Happy birthday, Sez.
Thanks, Rose. I feel a lot wiser. Turned 26 yesterday. It's also International Women's Day today.
How fitting.
Yeah, that we're celebrating with a podcast recording.
With the girls. Go the girls. So, Sez, you're fresh off a new 800 PB. Two flat 55.
Yep.
How do you feel?
I am feeling good. I'm still
feeling
a little
fast.
Bit, yeah. Still a little bit shocked, to be honest. But yeah, it was a really good weekend and I'm very happy with the race.
Yeah. So. I guess we'll go more into detail of the race later on in the episode.
Yeah.
But this episode's gonna be a little bit different because we thought, you know, we had Georgia on last week and everyone got to know Georgia, but no one really knows about us.
Yeah.
So, and because it's...
there's no context. Like, we need to give it context and background so the listeners kind of know who they're listening to.
Yeah, they're like, who are these girls that decided to take the microphone and start a podcast?
Yes.
but we thought this would be very fitting because it is Sarah's birthday and she is fresh off a PB, so may as well make the whole episode about her.
Birthday week.
Yeah, isn't that what the birthday week is about? It's like about you all week. No one else is allowed to have their time.
I want you to tell that to Geordie because my birthday privileges only lasted half a day.
Half a day? Oh, come on, Geordie.
He was at work the first half of most of the day. But yeah, he was nice to me in the morning before he left. And then once it hit, you know, bedtime, it was
out.
About me.
He was done.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you do anything for your birthday?
Not really. I just trained. We had a session and then I went out for dinner. My brother, Jack, debuted for Melbourne last night.
Oh.
So mum and dad were in Sydney watching that. And so, I just watched
nice
it.
Nice birthday present.
Yeah.
How did they go?
They lost. Yeah.
That's a shame.
But
that's all right.
We've got the Bulldogs next week, so hopefully it goes all right.
Yeah. Nice. I actually went to the footy last night.
Really?
NRL. A bit different. The Knights played. I haven't been to a footy match in I don't know how long. And when I got there, I remembered why I've never been.
You didn't watch much of the footy?
I hardly watched. I was people watching the whole time. And I kept talking to Cass and she was like, stop it. I'm trying to watch the footy. And I was just pointing out people like in the crowd being like, Cass, look at this guy.
Is she going to invite you next week?
No, she literally messaged in our group chat was like, I'm never bringing Rose to the footy again.
That's funny.
And I was trying to leave at halftime because I drove us there and I was trying to leave. And she's like, it's halftime. I was like, oh, they're going to lose. Like, we may as well go. Like, come on, bedtime.
Wait, do you go to those teams? Either of those teams?
It was the Knights versus the Raiders. I mean, if I'm going to go for a team, I'll go for the Knights. But I am a bit of a fake fan. Like, I'll only jump on their bandwagon when they're going well.
Yeah.
And that's when I chucked the jersey on. But they didn't go well, so I threw my jersey in the bin.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about footy chat. We are here to talk about running.
Yeah, we are.
So I guess I'll go into my week first, so then the rest of the episode, Sarah can have the spotlight because I know that's what she's been wanting.
I feel a little bit of pressure. I know how Griffo felt last week.
I mean, no wonder. Nah, it's chill. I won't interrogate you too much.
Okay.
All right. I'll go on my training week. So as we know, the training weeks start on a Saturday in this podcast. So Saturday, hills. I haven't done hills since Falls Creek, which actually wasn't that long ago, but I was like,
it does feel like ages ago though.
It does. I was like, oh my God, guys, I haven't done hills in so long. And everyone was like, you were at Falls Creek like 3 weeks ago. I was like, oh, that's right.
So much has happened.
Like, I was trying to get a bit of sympathy. Like, oh, she's no good up the hill. Like, she hasn't done it in a while. She's out of practice. But nah, I was actually okay. The hills are pretty hard hills. So we do it at like an it's a dump. Like, it's an actual dump. It's called Summer Hill Waste Center.
Oh, it actually is a dump.
is a dump. So it's the further you go up the hill, the more you can smell the dump. And if there's a headwind, it is so stanky. But yeah, it's at a pretty good hill. It's tough. It's like real pinchy for like the first 400 and then it flattens out. So you sort of get to halfway and you're like already lactic. So you're just trying to like, I don't know, run strong for the last bit. But it's about 700 meters. So usually we sort of change between doing like 6x700 or like long short. So the short's 400 meters. So we did long short this session. I feel like I don't really know like times what's good on this hill. So I sort of just did the first one, try and ran like a little bit conservative, but I always go too hard too early on a hill. Like, I always feel really good. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I was just fresh.
Yeah. I reckon it's because you are going at a slower pace. So you feel really good and you're like, oh, this is fine. And then the like incline starts to hit you and it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely felt it by like the third hill. I was like, whew. So for the first hill, I did 238. And then for the 400, 128. And it's just jogged back down. So you're getting like whatever rep you ran recovery, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. So you did the short hill from the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you're not jogging halfway down the hill.
No, but because the hill from the bottom is like steeper, that's why we do it. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. I think if we did it the other way, it wouldn't be steep enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went 138, 128, 140, 129, 139, 129. 239, 129, 240, 127. So it was pretty even. There was a big group of us, so I was just sort of chasing the guys. But yeah, I was pretty happy with that. I finished the session and I was so tired. I was just complaining the whole warm down. You know those warm downs when you just try to get back to the car? And then I got back and it was only 3K and I'm like, oh, I have to run like an extra 5 minutes around the ovals.
They're the worst warm downs when you have to add on.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it done. And then in the afternoon, I just did an easy 7K. I didn't write what pace I did, but I'm going to guess it was 440, not 340. Nice. It was pretty relaxed. And then Sunday was long run day. My legs were pretty tired. So usually I've been doing 2 hours on a Sunday, like as my staple long run, but I just made it an hour 45 because I was so tired and it was really hot and I was just like, oh, I may as well just cut it back an extra like a back 15 minutes, like I'm getting the same benefit anyway. So I just did an hour 45 at 418s. It's 24k all by myself around the beach. It was pretty nice.
Long run Monday style. Like doing it solo.
I was actually thought that because I didn't really have a plan and I just woke up and I was like, well, going to go out the door. But usually I have someone, like either Scotty will come with me on the bike or like I'm meeting someone. So it's like, you know, it feels a bit more like regimented.
Yeah.
Monday I just did 60 minutes again, easy, flat at 417s, 14K. And then I went straight to the gym, did George's gym program and then, well, my gym program now, I guess. And then in the afternoon, I just did drills and strides. I do 4 120-meter strides in Spikes at the track.
Nice.
So, get ready for the Tuesday session. Tuesday, we did easy 7K in the morning because I do my session in the afternoon. And this session, I knew it was going to be a hard session because Scotty sort of said to me, oh, make sure you're ready by Tuesday. It's going to be, I don't know, when I hear that, I'm like, oh my God, I've like spent all day like getting ready for it.
Yeah. I stress majorly.
And it's, I like, so that's why for those sessions, I would way rather doing them in the morning because then it's just done.
Yeah, and you don't have time to think.
Yeah, so I was, when I got there, I felt like I was like ready for race day. Everyone did was like, damn, Rose's.
Did you do Morton? Did you do the Morton?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. So how'd that's why I felt like I was race day ready because yeah. I even did bike up. Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I had a really good session, so it must have been all right. But yeah. I was more worried about how it would affect my stomach. But yeah, nothing.
That's good.
Yeah, I just felt really fueled.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of feel almost heavy.
Yeah, I did. But then I also, like, I feel like I was really hungry during the day. So I must have needed it. So I didn't feel actually that bad.
That's good.
Because I was expecting to feel like that. But so the session was mile in 80s and then 2x200 in 33. That's sort of like a warm up before like the main set. And the main set was 3x1200 at 74s, 200 jog in a minute, 600 at 70s, 100 jog in 30 seconds, and then 300 hard in 50.
Oof,
and
wow.
Then lap jog between the sets. So
how many sets is
three. So it's not actually that bad. Yeah, I feel like you could erase the mile and stuff warm up and do four sets of it, but you'd have to do it like maybe like 2 seconds slower.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the set goes so quick because you're so focused the whole set. You sort of blink and it's done.
Yeah, yeah. And those short recoveries as well is good.
Yeah. So for the first set, I ran 3:41 for the 1200, a minute 44 for the 600, and then 50 seconds for the 300. I think, I don't really know, but I think I went through 70 for the 600, like in the first set.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second set I did 3:41 again, 1:43, and then a 49. And then the third set I went 3:41, 1:42,
47. Nice.
So, yeah, I feel like, and I was sort of touching on that lactic a little bit, but like, not a lot. And I was like, well, maybe the bike up's working.
Yeah. I reckon claim that as working.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was the placebo effect or it actually was working.
I feel like it's definitely half mental, but take that.
Probably. I'll take it. Because Scotty, like, I don't know. He's just a bit old school sometimes and he was a bit weird about me taking it. And then I finished and he was like, oh, did you have the bike up? Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it for the next race. Like, he was a bit weird about it and now he's like fully on board.
Yeah.
He's like, don't do it in training. We'll just save it for race day. I was like, obviously.
Imagine doing it every single session, like every single track session.
I know. Well,
your stomach would be so bad.
It would be so bad. And also, I feel like I didn't really sleep that much after. Like, I felt like I had raced.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't go to sleep, I reckon, until, like, 12:30 that night. And, like, usually I'm, like, asleep by 10:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I did have a coffee at 3, so that might have been it too. But, and, like, being also, like, so much adrenaline from, like, an often, like, the session.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't be doing but that every week.
Oh, God, Well, I woke up Wednesday and I felt like I had that, the race hangover.
Oh.
Like, I had to drag myself out the door. It was okay. Like, once I got going, it was fine. I just did 70 minutes, 16K, 4:25s. But I was just like, you know, like when you're just trying to prep yourself up for the run.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. Anyway, so that was Wednesday. Then I just did gym again. And then Thursday, morning threshold, 10K, 3:23s. I ran with Morgs. My training partner, we just took a mile each of the threshold, which is good. I always struggle, and I know I think I said this last week, but I always struggle with the early morning thresholds because I just feel like I'm asleep until like 6K. And then I get to like 6K and I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Like, and then I'm like, oh, it's only 4K to go.
Yeah. I feel like
so
it's
that's
a bit
sort of like.
Like when you're at home, it must be a bit of a challenge, like going from Falls Creek where it's like 9:20 to 9:30 every single day. And then you've got like some sessions at night, some really early, like that probably takes a bit of adjusting too when you get home.
It does. And I feel like also the recovery, because I'm not getting like much recovery between Tuesday arvo and Thursday morning.
Yeah.
But I like, it's fine. Like, I don't really, I'm not that fussed of what pace I run on threshold. Like 3:23s is like, that's pretty good for me.
Yeah.
And I sort of just look at my heart rate anyway. But yeah, it is an adjustment. I always dread coming back home from Falls Creek, not because I don't want to come home, just because I'm like, oh my God, like training's like so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then different once routine. I'm here, it's fine. Yeah. Different routine. And then I went to the physio, that day, and I just got some needles, in like my left, right leg. I've had this injury, last year. It was actually a cyst in my hamstring. But I had a bit of tendinopathy in there too. The cyst is gone and it's fine. It hasn't come back, but I do like it. My hamstring flares up sometimes. So I just got a few needles in there just to get on top of that. But, yeah, I didn't double in the afternoon just because I couldn't walk after the needles. I went to the shops and I had to get the trolley because I like was limping.
Oh.
I felt like I couldn't bend my leg because I got it in the top of my calf too.
Yeah.
So I was just leaning on the trolley, just sort of going through the shops. I got like two things.
It's literally crippling. And you're like,
yeah,
why did I do this? But then it comes good a couple of days later.
Yeah. Well, this morning I woke up and I was like, I got out of bed and I forgot about it.
Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah. And then Friday, today, 50 minutes, 11K at 4:30s. I ran really easy. Well, I was just trying to. I wasn't really looking at my watch. I was pretty, like, I was just a bit sore. Not in my hamstring, just, like, overall body sore. I think just from a big week.
Yeah.
And then 7K in the afternoon to wrap up the week. So, 100.
Good week.
49K for the week, which was, yeah, it was a good week.
Another week in the bank.
Another week in the bank.
All right. Should I get into my week? So
yeah, this is what everyone's been waiting for.
I won't so Saturday was the race. So I might come back to that.
Yeah.
But I did do, so I'm just getting up to the day. So I did in the morning just a 10-minute shakeout the day of the race, which I normally do, especially if I'm racing an 800. I just like to warm up a little bit in the morning. It's also helpful if you're someone that gets really nervous. I feel like doing a little shakeout is kind of nice because, I don't know, running usually calms you down anyway. So like doing a little run in the morning is kind of nice for the nerves.
I feel like it like preps you, like it wakes you up. Just you don't feel like that's, especially if you're used to running in the morning, you don't get that sluggish feeling. Cause if I don't run in the morning, I feel really sluggish for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And if you don't, if you've traveled the day before, it's really good, to just shake out the legs in the morning. So yeah. I did that in the morning in the race that night. And then the next day we had a really early flight, so I didn't run in the morning, but I ran when I got home, and Nick said, just do 75 minutes. So I did 75 minutes from home at 4:27s, and I felt again like the race hangover. I ran at 1 p.m., which was literally the worst time to run, but I was like, as soon as we got
home,
it wasn't too bad. So it was probably low 20s. But as soon as I got home from the airport, I was like, I've got to run now or I'll just like crash, because I think I got 2 hours sleep. So yeah, I just got it done, but it wasn't very fun.
I hate when there's a run hanging over your head.
Yeah. Yeah. The first half an hour was the worst. And then once I got through that, I actually felt okay. But
oh, that's all right.
And then Monday I did 50 minutes in the morning just from home. That was 4:37s. I didn't do strides that night because of the race. Like, you're just so stiff. Like, there's literally no point in doing strides. And then Tuesday we were at Waverley, and this session was actually all right. It wasn't too hard, which was nice. I trained with Georgia, Brooke, and we had Thorpey, Toby, and a few of the guys help pace, and we did 5x600 with 200 jog in like 65 to 70 seconds. But the 600s were going through in 74, 75. So that was just kind of like a bit of above threshold kind of thing, just to get us warmed up. And then we did, so it is a bit confusing, but we went 400, 3 minute rest, 400 faster, and then 400.
Wait, standing rest?
Well, wait, let me explain this better. This is kind of confusing. Okay. So we did a slow, it was meant to be a slow 400 in 70, 1 minute rest, a 400 in 66, and then it was 3 minutes rest. And in that, I jog / walk. And then 70 minute rest, 300 in 48, and then 3 minutes rest, and then 400 in 70, 1 minute rest, 200 in 29, and then it was 2 minutes rest, and then two 200s, like one of them just 30, and then the next one a bit quicker. And then the pace is
like, so it went 4-4-3-4-2.
Nearly. So it went 4-4-4-3-4-2-2-2.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's easier to remember.
Yeah. And so the paces I ended up going were 70-64 and then 70-48 for the 300, 71-29 for the 200, and then 29. And then the last 200, I was feeling pretty good and it was meant to be 28. And I was kind of like, oh, like I'm not lactic yet. I kind of just want to like go a bit quick and try and hold my form, because I think that's something I need to work on anyway. And so I did 27 for that one.
Damn, girl.
Well, seven. We're in flats on grass, so I was like, that's all right.
I've never run a 27 in my life.
You'd definitely be able to run a 27.
That is so fast. Nice.
So yeah, the session was pretty good. Like it wasn't too hard, which was nice because of the race on Saturday. Yeah, so that was good.
That's good to know you pulled up okay from the race.
Yeah, it was. And like I didn't feel too cooked or anything, so that was good. And then I did gym that day, and then I also got needles on Tuesday in my calf from Steve Dineen. Shout out Steve Dineen. He's very good at needles. And so, yeah, again, I couldn't walk properly, so I didn't jog that afternoon. And then I was fine the next day. I did, so Wednesday I did an hour just from home at 4:31s, and then Thursday I did threshold and we were back at Caulfield. And in the warm-up I was like, okay, is it just my memory or is this surface so bad? But then Stewie was like, nah, I've never seen it this bad before. So I was like, okay, I'm not just being dramatic.
Really? Was it really uneven?
So uneven. Well, it's more that the grass is really long. So there's bits where you're literally running through long grass, and then the bits, there's one bit where the trail was fine, and then the rest of it, like, you couldn't really tell where the worn-in trail is. Have you ran there?
Oh, I haven't ran there. The one session I went to do there, we got there, and then it was closed. We couldn't get on, so then we went to the lake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I did 5 by 6 minutes, and then my average pace was 3:33s for the whole thing, including like the jogs, 9.6K.
That's good.
Is it
just off a minute jog?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bit sad though, because everyone had like the max people ran was 4 laps, and I had to do 4 laps in 1 minute. So
that was everyone standing there when you went past?
Yeah, and I was like, I hope I'm not breathing too loud and people judge me.
He's like, just hold your breath a little bit.
Yeah. And I also had in my head that I wouldn't make it to 4 laps. So I was like, you know, I don't have to go the full lap on the last one. And then anyway, that's fine.
And then you did. And then plus a little bit more.
Yeah.
And well, then it makes you stronger.
Yeah, exactly. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. great song. So then I did gym that afternoon, and then I did 30 minutes of water running a minute on, a minute off again. And then Friday I did, which was today, just half an hour from home. I ran to the oval that's like 8 minutes away and just did laps of that. And so, yeah, that was 4:41s.
Why did you do that? Oh, I guess if you're only doing half an hour laps at the oval, it's not terrible.
Yeah. And like I get so sick of running around the river, especially like where I make it to in 15 minutes, I always run those sections.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously the bits that are closest to home, you're going to run the most. So yeah.
Yeah.
I was just wanted to go around the oval.
Nah, I get like that for my afternoon runs.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice to be on the grass too when you just want to do an easy run. So that was 90K for the week, which, yeah, with a race and a smaller long run and the Arbor run, that's good.
Yeah, good week. So time to talk about your race.
Yeah. So
the two flat club.
I ran two flats. So my previous PB was 201.6. Which I ran pretty much a year ago to the day. And yeah, I came third. Claudia Hollingsworth won in 158.8 and Bendiri came second in 159.01, I think she ran.
Yeah, those girls ran really good. Like they finished really strong.
Yeah. Well, they're now, I think Claudia is now top number three all time and Bendir is number five all time. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And what are you?
I think I'm 17.
Okay. Nice. So there's a lot of girls around that. It's crazy, like in an 800, how many girls have ran like that in within that space?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's heaps in the low two flats. I don't think there's that many that are sub two, but yeah. Most of that sort of 12 people between Bendiri and I are two flat. And then Griffo, our special guest from last week, she came fourth and ran a season's best two flat 0.8, I think it was.
That was good. You guys had a nice little battle down the home straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Both fighting to the end. I literally thought with like 100 to go, I was like, you know, I might not get many opportunities to race an 800 this year. So just like go as hard as you can.
Yeah, I could see you're like, I don't know, it just looked like your form changed and like you were really gunning for the line.
Yeah, my form got so sloppy. That's why I was, trying to work on that at training.
Oh, well, I thought you were good.
Oh, thank you. I saw a photo of like the last 50 meters and like Claudia and Bendiri are like, you know, really good form. And Claudia, I'm just like all over the shop.
Claudia is a really nice, well, so is Bendiri, but they're both really nice runners, like in the way they run.
Yeah. I think
they just look so strong and effortless.
Yeah. It's impressive when like someone gets to the last 100 of an 800 and like their form hasn't changed. Like it looks the same one lap in as it does two laps.
How do you change that? Is it just gym or like?
I reckon gym, but also like I haven't hit lactic that much at training yet. So I feel like my body was kind of like, oh my gosh, just like fling your legs around to get to the end. So I think.
Yeah, like, it just goes into survival mode.
Yeah. Like hitting lactic a bit more at training, I'll be able to like practice keeping my form and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did the race pan out?
So, basically I just wanted my goal for the race. I had sort of two goals that I wanted to do. I've been working with one of Nick's mates, Brett Stevens, who is kind of like a mental coach for athletes. He works with a lot of surfers and a lot of, tennis players about like the mental approach to their sport and stuff. And I've been working with him for like a year and, just on like heaps of different things and he's helped me a lot. But one of the two things he wanted me to do in the last couple of weeks, which kind of finally clicked in my brain, was like he just wanted me to be fearless of the outcome. So just taking all expectation out and like any pressure of the outcome out of it, so that I could actually attack the race from the start, because that's something that I struggle with. Like, I kind of doubt whether I can finish strong. So I just sort of sit back way too much and just leave too much ground to make up at the end of races. So yeah, and a lot of that comes from being afraid of like blowing up at the end. So that was a big thing that I wanted to do. And then he also said just to use like the want to get better as my motivation, because I think a lot of people will relate to this. Having like ran marathons, like you get to the start line and you're kind of like, why did I choose to do this? Like, why am I putting myself through this amount of pain? Whilst I don't really actively think like, why am I here? But I kind of am sort of being like, you know, well, what am I trying to get out of this? Like, what am I doing here? And yeah, I think that's something that probably a lot of people think the first time they run a marathon, like, why have I signed up to 42Ks?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it is a bit demotivating. And that's something that like I don't struggle with at training. I always, you know, really want to be there. I want to put myself through as much pain as I can. And it kind of clicked for me when he said, you know, use the want to get better as motivation, because I realized that that's what I do every day at training. I want to get better, and that's why I put myself into that pain. And yeah, I kind of realized like it's kind of dumb that I haven't realized that previously. So yeah, before the race,
that too though, like before races, like I don't know, sometimes you don't even realize when the doubt like creeps into your head.
Yeah. And like everyone goes through the doubts, like that's just part of it. But yeah, I think kind of having that in my head on the start line when I was like super nervous and stuff was really helpful. I just was telling myself like, I want to get better, and that's why I'm going to do this race. That's why I'm pushing myself to the limit. And yeah, I think it went well. Like I got straight on the pace. I reacted to some movements as well, which was good. Sometimes I can be sort of slow to react. So yeah, I like made it to 400 on pace, which was like step one. And then
was the pace?
I think Claudia went through in 58 and I was probably 59 mid or something.
Okay.
In fifth, but it was just like a train. And then I did... I went around the girl in front of me on that bend and then kind of got back on, and then I lost it a bit with about 250 to go, and then rallied the last 150. I just word vomited.
When you finished, when you saw the time, like when you finished, did you finish like with a lot of running in your legs? Like were you like, oh, like I can go quicker, or were you like spent?
I was actually okay. So I didn't, like looking back, I didn't have to like lay down or anything. And I didn't feel that lactic coming down the straight. I just couldn't go any faster.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whereas a lot of times at the end of 800s, I'm like lactic to the eyeballs. So yeah, that was good. And yeah, I crossed the line and like Griffo straight away said, I think you've run too flat. And I was like,
ooh, yay. Was there a scoreboard? Because like, no. You know when you're waiting, when you're waiting to look at the scoreboard and you're like, did I do it?
Yeah. So that the results actually took a while to come in, and then
my results page wasn't working.
Oh really?
Yeah, it kept like the page was crashing. So I was like, oh my god, what did she run? And then Riley messaged into like our group chat and I was like, yes. The results page wasn't working.
Yeah, I think it was Lockie Morehouse told me that I'd ran too flat. So yeah. And then I received a very nice message from yourself.
Of course.
Yeah. It was actually so nice. Like I got back to my phone like probably 10 minutes later, and like you and Izzy and Brett as well were the first ones to message me, and I was like, that's so nice. I feel like when you're like being like we've trained together at Falls for ages, and you know, you just see the day to day, like the people you live with and stuff.
Yeah.
So though it was really nice to get those.
It's always nice to see your training partners like do well. And you know what? Izzy messaged me straight away and she was like, oh my God, look at Cez. Like she ran so well. So really happy. And we're also really happy to see Georgia, you know, get closer to her best.
Yeah, definitely. That was a huge run for her. Yeah,
she ran really well, especially with all of her struggles like last year and just trying to her start to the season. So
yeah.
No, the girls, definitely. You know, good start for the girls.
Yeah. Go MTC sprint crew.
The sprint crew is working. So I guess we'll have a little change of pace and go back to where it all started for Cez. Because you know what? When we started this podcast, everyone would have thought, why? Sarah's a 5K runner. And then now she's running like 800s and she's in the 2 flat club. Like they're probably confused. Which one is your pet event? Dabble in a 15, 2?
Yeah, I feel like the 5K was just a bit, not a one-off, but yeah, that was out of my comfort zone, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you know what? I was actually laughing because I knew like this podcast was going to be about you. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll look up her IAAF page, her World Athletics page and see what she's run. And you've got PBs from like the 100 all the way to 5K road. It's like 5,000 meters and 5K road, but then you've still ran like your 100 PB is like 13 seconds or something.
I started as a sprinter. So I only started 800s when I was 18, like once I'd left school. Up until then, I was mainly 200 and 400. In particular, the 400 was my jam.
That was your jam. Well, yeah. I feel like when I was a junior, I knew you as a 400 runner.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that was like my favorite event.
And you actually went to World Juniors for the 4x4, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
800 and 4x4.
Yeah, I did the 800 and 4x4. So that was the first year I did the 800 like properly. And yeah, I think a few people were kind of like, oh, well, why did you move up? But I had an injury in year 12 to the nerve in my hamstring, and I had it for about 8 months, and they didn't really know what it was for ages. I think it was actually a bit of tendinopathy as well, but they found like my sciatic nerve was tethered at the top of my hamstring. So I ended up getting cortisone and it ended up being like a 10-day fix, but I was, it caused me trouble for like the 8 months prior, but we just didn't get a diagnosis for ages. But my body like responded a lot better to the longer stuff. I couldn't really handle the pure speed anymore. And so a lot of my training that year when I was in year 12 was...
what year was that?
2015. I was 17. A lot of my training that year was kind of more fitness-based. So, yeah, at the end of that year, Steve, my coach at the time, was like, you know, let's look to the 800. And then I ran the qualifier and, yeah, ran
the 800. What was the qualifier at the time?
It was 207.1 and I ran 205 that year, 205.7.
Oh, smash that qualifier. Were you expecting to run that quick or were you just like, cause like it is a big step from like 200, like you're running half a lap of the track, then you have to like run 2 whole laps of the track.
Yeah.
Like, mentally it would be such a big step up.
Yeah. Well, I did the summer prior. I did an 800 just for fitness and ran 208. So I knew that I wasn't too far off the qualifier, and I kept, this just demonstrates how dumb it is to like put so much pressure on a time, but I kept running like 207.3, 207.2, 207.4. Like I kept being like within say 0.3 of the qualifier. And then, at my second last chance, I was just like, stuff it. I'm just going, very hard. And then I ran 205, so that was good.
I ran 205 and went to World Juniors. Where was World Juniors at the time?
It was in Bydgoszcz in Poland.
I remember watching that.
Yeah, it was such a cool trip. I loved it. I made so many friends that like I still have now, and it was just such a good experience and exposure. to what athletics can do.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, well, I never went to World Juniors, but your first international competition for it to be World Juniors is like pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of look back and I'm like, how did I handle like those nerves and stuff when you're only 18? But I don't know.
I feel like you just deal. Everyone's sort of in the same boat.
Yeah.
But it's so easy because like, because you are young, everyone sort of like feeds off each other. So if someone's nervous, like you can like also feed off that energy. Like
yeah.
It's a fine line between, you know, trying to like hang out with people, but also like doing your own thing.
Yeah. And we were away for 5 weeks, which was the longest trip they had done. So like, you know, we didn't race until the last week. So it was like a month of basically school camp. So a lot of people, you know, you either sink or swim in situations like that.
It's funny because it's like school camp, but like people are 18 or 18, 20.
Yeah.
So like, that's funny. That would be fun to be on though. So you went to World Juniors, and then when did you make the transition to MTC and start doing 1500s?
So, World Juniors was 2016. And then I had a good year after that. And then like, I kind of went downhill after that. I was struggling a bit. Like I couldn't break. Like I ran 203 when I was 19, and then I literally couldn't break 208, for a couple of years after that. I needed a change up. That was really clear to me and my family as well. And I was also dating Geordie and Geordie Williams. And I went over and visited him in Spain, just because he was overseas doing the European circuit. And I went over
Is this when in Hoyos?
In Hoyos, yeah. So I think it was the first time they'd been to Hoyos. And yeah, I went there, did their training camp with them. I was just a guest. Like, I was just Geordie's girlfriend. I wasn't like taking part in the training or anything. I was kind of exposed to MTC and I really loved it. I then joined Nick a few months later. Literally the day I shook Nick's hand and was like, yep, I'm in.
I'm MTC.
I also got a sacrum stress fracture.
Oh, no.
I got the MRI, I think, a day later after I was
Did he know you were getting an MRI or did you just
he knew I was sore. He knew I was getting an MRI, but he didn't know, like, how sore I was, I think.
Oh, so he's, like, called you, being like, yes, says, welcome to the team. And then you have to call him back being like, problem, got stressy.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. So that was kind of a rough start to the MTC crew, but that was good. A good move.
So what year was that?
That was 2018, the end of 2018. And then I kind of had, once I came back from the sacrum, I had like a year or 18 months of just like decent training. My races weren't really going that well, but my training was getting better, and Nick had kind of warned me, like, changing my training so much, like coming from a sprinter's background to like an essentially like endurance group.
Because we ages. Do like, it would be a massive change up because our sessions are like, they're pretty long. Jog recovery's like back then, like, he wasn't doing as much like 800 specific training.
Yeah, yeah. There was Britt McGowan was the only 800 female. And the guys kind of dabbled in the 800, but they were mostly 1500 runners. Jog recovery was so foreign to me. I was like, what? And I was also like, you guys time your recoveries. Like, I've never timed a recovery. That was a very fun transition, but a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah. So when did Nick break the news that you were going to run a 1500?
I feel like it wasn't really this big, like, change.
I remember when I was in this race, and I remember when you ran your first 15.
Yeah. Was that the one in Sydney?
Yeah. Was that your first?
It wasn't, like, I'd ran one when I was, like, younger, but it was my first proper one, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. I feel like a lot of people think it's, like, this conscious decision to change or whatever, but it was just because I wasn't running well over 800 still, but I was getting fitter, so it was kind of just an obvious thing to go, well, I'll run a 1500. So, yeah, I ran lots of 1500s and then kind of realised, like, I'm going all right at these, like, I'll keep racing them.
What
yeah.
did you run for your first one? Was it 4:12?
No. Actually, I think I ran 4:20, maybe in 2019, and then at the start of 2019, and then I think I ran 4:16 or so with you.
No,
in that
you
race.
Ran quicker. You ran quicker because I ran 4:14.
Oh, I maybe that was the year after in 2020.
We didn't race in 20. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So I ran 4:12.
You were in front of me. Yeah. Yeah. Because I ran. Yeah. That would make sense. You were a fair bit ahead of me. I mean, like, damn, Sarah's is good over 15.
I was just excited to be running a PB because my 800s were so sad.
Fair. I feel like, yeah, like for the 800, like you can get stuck in a rut. Like I ran 800s when I was younger, but I always 211, 211, and I ran 1:208 and then, yeah, back to 211.
Yeah. It's a really hard event to train for and coach because, like, everyone responds really differently. And I think it's, yeah, that's been something that's played on my mind a lot. That, you know, I've kind of second guessed, like, oh, you know, maybe this training doesn't suit 800s for me. But yeah, I think that was probably honestly the biggest relief on Saturday, that I was like, no, like, I still have my speed and I've been doing 5K work. And that was similar to what Izzy said in her message to me, which was really nice. Yeah, I think it's a myth that you lose speed. Well,
yeah.
For me, like, everyone's different, but yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you are not, like, a stranger to injuries.
Yeah,
you had, like, a bit of a rough... Yeah, you had a bit of a rough trot. Like, was it after 2020?
Yeah, during 2020. So that race where I ran 4:12, I think for 2 years after that, I did one race.
Yeah, and I feel like this would be really good for the listeners, like, who are going, like, through injuries and, like, they just feel like they're, like, in a never-ending cycle of, like, getting a little bit fit, then getting injured again and getting a little bit fit.
Yeah.
Like, how did you, like, get through that period and then, like, come back up, like, on top, like, right now? Like, I mean, touch wood, you've been pretty injury free for I'm touching wood, don't I?
Thanks.
For like a fair while now. Like, what did you have to change?
Yeah, I think I changed a lot. I learned a lot, so I was able to change things from what I learned. I learned, like, what I could handle, what I couldn't. I think it's really hard to get out of injury cycles once you're in them. I've heard Brett and Joel talk about, I think they say, like, the danger zone, where, like,
the red zone.
Yeah, you're coming back from injury and that's when you're most susceptible to getting another. But I think when you're in that injury cycle, like, it's just so frustrating and, like, there is no sugarcoating it. But like Griffo said last week, you've just got to have, like, little goals, and remember that, like, everyone is on their own journey. Because a lot of that time I just felt like I was, like, time was running out and I was missing out on training and, like, I was getting older and time was ticking. But I think, like, you just got to remember you're on your own journey, learning different things for yourself. And it's important to learn those lessons. And when you learn them doesn't really matter, but as long as you do along the way, it's important. But yeah, I think the last major injury I had was the middle of 2021. And I took essentially 6 months to come back to full training. So yeah, I just took things, like, ridiculously slow, like almost taking the piss a little bit. and I was just so careful. I think it's also unrealistic to think that like you're never going to be injury free, because that's another thing I've learned. Like, yes, I haven't had a serious injury, but I've had so many little niggles that I might have had to take 5 days off, or I've taken like a couple of down weeks, which you've got to accept that that's going to happen as well. Because I think when you've been injured a lot, you can be looking for perfection and like no pain anywhere. And it's just like you're putting so much load and stress on your body. That's never going to happen. So yeah, also keeping that in mind when you're on your way back, like a sore calf could just be, well, this is a bad example because I've just been so dramatic about my sore calf. But
what about, you know, when you had your little quad? Like, remember your knee niggle last year?
Oh, yeah. So that ended up being ITB syndrome, but my brain can't tell the difference between like that pain and bone pain. And so like I was so freaked out that that was a bone thing. But yeah, it turned out to be my ITB, and it was like, it was painful, but it was absolutely fine. And
also, when you've gone through so many bone like injuries, like that would be the first thing that comes to your head.
Yeah. And there's just so many warning signs that go off in your head. Yeah, but it is a good thing, because then you're careful. And having little niggles is always a reminder not to get too excited as well. But yeah, I think I learned so much. I'm honestly happy that I came out the other side and didn't give up.
You always come out of your injury stronger.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? You had such a good year last year. Like, I feel like, and I'm sure you would agree, like last year was a bit of a breakout season for you. Like, you were racing so well, like consistently, and you ran like PBs pretty much. Well, you ran a PB over 15.
Yeah.
800?
Yeah, 800, but that was like earlier in the year. I didn't run an 800 PB in Europe, but yeah, still counts.
Yeah. Yeah. See, look, guys, there is light outside the tunnel. Wait.
Yeah.
That's a saying, right?
Light at the end of light the tunnel.
There's always light outside the tunnel.
There was a saying that you said last week that I totally glazed over, and Brett picked up on it. And I don't know what you said, but it was something to Grippo, and we were laughing so hard.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what you said.
I always butcher my sayings, but I say them so confidently.
Yeah, the other day you were like, we were about to record, and you texted me saying, my family's home, they're just going to be ears dropping. Do you know what it actually is? It's eavesdropping. I get what you thought. Like, eavesdropping makes sense to, like, the definition. But, yeah, I laughed, but I let it go. I was like, oh, I'll pull you up someday for this one, but I'll leave it for now.
Do you know how long I've been saying that for?
What was the one to say? I used to always say, you know, nip it in the bud. You know that saying? I thought
it was nip it in the butt.
Same. I said that for like 24 years of my life.
Sorry. I thought it was nip it in the butt until you just said that. Oh, that's so funny. I want to know what I said last week now. I'll have to ask when this finishes.
Yeah, it was something like, oh, no, I'm going to stuff it up. I can't remember, but yeah.
I'll ask.
Oh, no, yes, that's it. You said, like, you're not going to go down trying or something? Or is that the saying? I can't remember. No,
you don't go down trying. You.
I don't know. But it was something along those lines.
You know, we just went from a real serious conversation to, like, the dumbest.
That's good, because, like, I was getting too deep, I think.
All right, time to get shallow again. Should we go into some listener questions? Unless you have any more else to add, Says, about your No, because that was good.
About myself.
I enjoyed that. About yourself. I was about to say that, and then I was like, oh, that probably sounds a bit rude.
But it's
you know
true,
what? Though. I actually enjoyed learning about you because I didn't know a lot about that stuff.
Yeah, well, there you go.
you should open up to me more often.
I will. When we're at Falls Creek or Hoyos, like in a bunk bed, and the lights are out, I'll just open up.
So, guys, I'll be like, Sam, shut up. I'm trying to sleep. And you're like, oh.
But I'll be like, yeah, 3 years ago, I had this injury.
You just hear me go, no one cares. You're just crying out your bed.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't laugh right into the microphone then.
Oh, I need another drink of water.
You know, last week as well, I think so when we when Griffo said her confession about the driving to a reservoir, I don't know how to say it. We were laughing so hard. Brett had to edit it so it wasn't as loud because like the sound waves on the thing were like we literally exploded with laughter. It might sound like we didn't laugh that hard, but we were laughing so much at the time.
He's gonna have to do it on this section now.
I know.
It's just gonna be like silence for like 3 minutes because he had to edit our laughs out.
No one cares.
It's like, well, Rose, please be quiet. All right, let's go into some listener questions. So we got, and I know this isn't the first time Sarah's had this question, and I know how she feels about it, but we got this question from Sydney, and she said, would Sarah beat her brother over 3K?
So the answer is yes, I would. My brother is my brother is a very good athlete, but I think his PB is like it's over 10 minutes for 3K. And yeah, hopefully I beat that at Sydney 3K in a few weeks. But yeah, it kind of makes me sad because I'm like, you know, no one asked me if I can kick longer than my brother. Like, why like, is he
please,
expected
think of
to,
me.
Yeah, like we do different sports and like, yeah, he shouldn't be expected to run a 3K too quick. And yeah, I shouldn't be expected to kick a 40.
I agree, even though you could.
Thanks, Rose. So Llewellyn Davies asks, sorry, that was bad pronunciation.
I was going to say you butchered that, but I was just going to roll with it. Sorry.
As you would say, oopsie days.
Oopsie days.
Why did Rose do a cooked loop around Canberra instead of just running around the lake?
Yeah, well, I actually don't know. And you know what? When I finished my run, I thought that was so dumb. Like, I could have easily not paid for Strava Premium and just gone around the lake. But I think, like, I literally could have just gone on Google Maps Lake and drove my car there and parked. But you know what? I didn't. And I enjoyed my loop. I think I was so tired and I just wasn't thinking, obviously. And I was like, oh, I'm so like stressed about the loop. I'll just do this. That's why I did it. And it was the very first loop that I found. Because you can go on like routes or routes, whatever it's called. I never know what the proper word is. And then you can look up the distance. Like I looked up like 25K and then I just literally clicked on the very first one that came and it was that. So I didn't mind it. It was literally just bike paths around Canberra.
Yeah.
Like, what else is there to see there?
It was an adventure. And you also had driven like 10 hours the day before.
Yeah. So Llewellyn, give me a break.
Yeah. All right. Should we do some confessions?
Yes. You know what? Everyone's favorite time of the week.
Well, let's read out. We've got two confessions to share. So we're going to just do them both anonymous because we weren't sure what they wanted. So this one is,
Next time, guys, if you do want anonymous, let us know. Otherwise, we will expose you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're being too soft today.
Yeah.
I'm a 61-year-old male, but I enjoy the show. So, yeah, we're hitting
Thank you.
We're reaching a big target audience. Yeah. So that's
and we don't
good.
Discriminate. Like, we want everyone to listen. So, but we appreciate your listen. So thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then this one made me laugh, but this listener sent in, if I want to stop, I just pretend I have a stone in my shoe.
I feel like so we've all funny. Done that.
Pardon?
And I feel like we've all done that. And like the classic, the classic drop, like stop for a little drink tap break as well.
100%. Yeah. And also I'm like done like my shoelaces.
Yeah. Yeah. When I used to coach like school kids, the amount of like little excuses that they would come up with was so funny. Yeah, they were so good. All right. Do you want me to do
you
mine?
Want to get your confession off your chest?
Yep. So mine's all very good, but so
it's okay. A confession is a confession.
My confession is that I've never like vomited after a session before. And that's kind of something that I've wanted to do. So I could be like, oh yeah, I've pushed myself that much.
I vomited. I trained so good today. I vomited.
But on Saturday in the warm down, I had to stop 4 times because I was dry reaching.
Yeah.
Me and Griffo, I think we took like half an hour to do. We lasted 12 minutes and it took us half an hour. But yeah, so that's my confession.
My goodness.
Yeah. I think it was the bicarb, to be honest.
Yeah, do you reckon? Or maybe it did go lactic.
I think it was the, it was really dry. And so my mouth, like I couldn't really, it was just so dry. And like I hadn't really eaten much since the bicarb, which was so many hours before, which usually I would have eaten closer. So it could have just been like an empty stomach or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, well, at least you can tick that off the list.
Yes, true.
Done.
I've made it.
New resolution, done.
What's yours?
So mine is from this morning, and Lily's going to listen to this and be like, oh, my God, that bitch.
Well, this sounds juicy.
But yeah, I don't know. So there's this run club in, like, Newcastle. It's called Bar Beach Run Club, and it's at, like, they meet at the beach at, like, 6:20, and it's, like, 5K. And I've been, like, I keep saying that I'd go, and then, like, I don't go because it's, like, so early on a Friday. Like, I just want to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I said, like, Lily said, oh, like, I really want to go. And I was meeting, like, Joe Ryan and Connor, my friend Connor there too. And I was like, yeah, yeah, 100%, I'm in. And I was saying this on Tuesday. I was like, I'm in, like, don't worry. I'm just going to cop the early morning. So this morning my alarm went off at, like, because I was going to do a little bit beforehand because it's only 5K and I had to do 50 minutes. So I was like, oh, if I run there, do it and then run home, like, that will be perfect. And I was like planning in my head and I was like, yep, Lil, I'm in. And I set my alarm 5 a.m. My alarm went off and I was like, absolutely not. And I was like, oh, fuck, like, what do I say to Lil? And I just messaged Lil. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just feeling a bit under the weather. I really need to sleep in. Like, easy day to. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm just, hopefully I don't feel sick later, like, sort of thing.
I wouldn't want to give you anything.
She's like, oh, good girl. Hope you feel better. And then I was like up this morning at like 8 o'clock, like, whoo.
She's going
to
be mad.
So yeah, Lily's going to listen to this and be like, oh my gosh.
I think you'll have to go next week.
I know. Look, I will go next week, but I mean, I would have gone, but I didn't get back to the footy from the footy until, like, it wasn't even that late. It was like 10 p.m.
That's still late if you're waking up at 5.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So anyway, that's my confession. And Lily, I'm really sorry. Hope she still hangs out with me tomorrow.
Shout out to Lily.
Shout out Lily Price. Lily is a listener too.
Hey, Lily.
Hey, Lil.
Okay. On that note, maybe we should wrap it up.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Hopefully you guys know Sarah on a deeper level now.
And Rose is next week. So watch this space. See ya.
Okay, bye.